This week, 4,200 inmates in California prisons are on hunger strike, many in solidarity with prisoners at the Pelican Bay Super Maximum Security Facility. Prisoners at Pelican Bay conducted an earlier hunger strike over the summer, but called it off when they believed prison officials would grant some of their demands. Their demands included ending group punishment and administrative abuse, abolishing the debriefing policy which pressures inmates to provide information on the gang status of fellow inmates, ending long-term solitary confinement, providing adequate and nutritious food, and offering constructive programming and privileges for those held indefinitely in supermax custody. When it became apparent that prison officials would not enact substantive changes, prisoners began a second hunger strike on September 29th and were joined by inmates at other state prisons across California through a method of communication supporters on the outside either don't know or aren't talking about. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhu spoke with Amy Fettig, senior staff counsel with the American Civil Liberties Union's National Prison Project. She discusses the inhumane conditions at Pelican Bay with a focus on solitary confinement, considered by Amnesty International and other groups to be a form of torture.
This protest arises from a number of things, but its chief concern is extended solitary confinement for not months, not years, but sometimes decades, for men that are almost completely isolated from other human beings, who are kept in almost complete idleness, so they have nothing to do, nothing to fill their time, and have no way to actually get out of the conditions that they are subject to. They can't earn their way out. They're basically trapped in this limbo state with no means to solve their problems other than to try to get the world to pay a greater attention by starving themselves.
Is this how all of them are treated in the supermax? I remember when the supermax prisons came online a couple of decades ago, that was one of their defining characteristics, right? The prisoners are kept in solitary confinement just about all the time?
Yes, yeah. For on average, 24 hours a day of complete social isolation. This means you don't get to interact with other human beings. You have your meals in your cell. You rarely ever leave your cell. You rarely have access to visiting anyone. And when you go outside for what may be called recreation, you are in a cage by yourself. So that is a level of isolation that is almost impossible for your average American to even imagine.
Amnesty International and many other groups, including mental health professionals, have defined this as torture.
Yes, as has bodies in the United Nations. In fact, all the research that has been done for years and decades has found that these types of conditions impact human beings in extreme ways. For folks who have mental illness to begin with, this will no doubt, being subject to these conditions, cause that individual to become sicker and sicker. But conditions of extreme isolation also have incredible impacts on folks who came into the system without mental illness. It literally makes you mentally ill. So there are some real questions about subjecting individuals to this type of isolation, especially when we're looking not at days or months, but years and even decades.
You were talking about them starving themselves to death, but I'm sure before things got that far, they would be force-fed, no? Did that happen in the first round of the hunger strike earlier this year?
You know, I'm not aware if it got that far in the last round. Certainly it went on. The initial round was 3 weeks. And the policy would be to force feed an individual before he or she actually expired. However, you get to a real state of a degradation in your health when you're talking about starving yourself for such a long period of time. So these are very risky things to do. They're causing a great deal of harm. But I think you have to look at what the options are for these prisoners, especially now when they, you know, back in July, they reached out to prison officials, they went on strike, it looked like there would be some real negotiations, and what we can see from this next strike is that the prisoners really felt that they weren't being listened to, they weren't being dealt with fairly, and that they had no other options.
Amy Fettig, has Governor Jerry Brown weighed in on this at all? In his first stint as governor in the 1970s, he was avowedly liberal with a spiritual streak. It seems like these conditions wouldn't sit well with him.
That he has expressed an opinion, quite frankly, but I would hope as the leader of the state and someone who is currently engaged in prison reform given the problems that are now endemic in the California system, that he would take a real interest in this, because it's a red flag. It should tell all officials in California that there's something seriously wrong in their prisons and that they need to take some action.
Pelican Bay is a supermax, but the hunger strike has spread to other facilities that are not supermax. If someone isn't already in isolation and starts resisting state authority by going on a hunger strike, are they then put into isolation?
My understanding is that prison officials are now saying that they are going to crack down on the hunger strikers, regardless of whether or not they're in Pelican Bay or another facility, that essentially they're going to get tough now. And I would say this is exactly the wrong reaction to have. Rather than sitting down and engaging in good faith negotiations and realizing that thousands of prisoners don't start starving themselves to death for no reason, that this is the time to take some serious action and reflect on their policies and procedures here, rather than burying their head in the sand yet further. They need to change the way they do business. And frankly, other states already have. Using long-term isolation has unfortunately become a pervasive practice in this country. However, increasingly states are recognizing that not only does it yield bad results because it has detrimental psychological impacts on people when they're released to the community, they have higher recidivism rates, and quite frankly, it costs 200 to 300% more to hold people in these types of prisons. So it's really a lose-lose. And what we're seeing in places like Mississippi and Colorado, the state of Maine, New Mexico, is that state legislators are taking a second look at what has been happening in corrections because it's costing taxpayers millions and millions of dollars and it's producing lousy results. And on top of that, it's inhumane.
That was Amy Fettig of the ACLU's National Prison Project. For more information on the California prisoner hunger strike and a petition calling for an end to extended solitary confinement, visit our website at btlonline.org.